A lawsuit filed by Park City Mountain Resort a year and a half ago brought to light the dispute over 3,700 acres it leases, which is the bulk of the resort's ski mountain. The landlord of that acreage, Talisker, parent company of Canyon Ski Resort, contends that the leases expired, and so the Park City Mountain Resort has to renegotiate them. But in the original suit, the Mountain Resort contended it had properly filed a notice by a deadline of April 30th of 2011, stating it intended to renew those leases through to the year 2051. However, this Friday, Talisker attorney John Lund argued the evidence shows the letter went out on May 2nd of that year, a Monday, but was backdated to April 30th, a Saturday. He said they're entitled to conduct discovery on the emails that passed that weekend between attorneys and officials of the resort and parent companies Greater Park City and Powder Corporation to find out why the backdating happened. Lund said in legal doctrine, an exception can be made to attorney-client privacy if the communications furthered a crime or fraud. He said a deception was not only perpetrated on the landlord, Talisker, but on the court, too.
There's a meeting happening on Monday, May 2nd. Mr. Cumming is there. Mr. Ireland is there, who's another principal of the plaintiffs in this case. And at least Mr. Jones is there. And there's a letter on the table that Mr. Jones and others have apparently created. And as originally created, it says May 2. And somebody makes a decision, Your Honor, that day to change the date on that letter. And then those gentlemen make the decision to sign that with an April 30 date on it. There is no reason given for that. It was done to deceive us. It was done to desperately try to hold on to this resort after having made an obvious mistake.
However, attorneys for the Mountain Resort have argued that the backdating was an honest mistake. They said the resort has admitted that for more than a year, and because of a previous ruling by Judge Harris, they've said that letter isn't even relevant anymore to the issue of whether the resort's leases are valid. Arguing for the Mountain Resort Friday, attorney Bruce Meyer said Talisker's request for the emails is overly broad and is a fishing expedition.
There was a misstatement of fact in pleadings in this case, and I don't mean in any way to diminish that. It's unfortunate and certainly nothing that anybody is happy about. But to say that constitutes the involvement of an attorney, soliciting an attorney to engage in a crime or a fraud or a cover-up is an enormous leap as to which there's absolutely no evidence other than pure speculation.
Meyer also said Talisker is scheduled next Wednesday to take depositions of Park City Mountain Resort officials, so they have a chance anyway to ask how the letter was backdated. In the end, Judge Harris struck down two other legal arguments from Talisker, but he said they have made a prima facie case for crime or fraud.
I think that Talisker has put forth a prima facie case or some prima facie evidence that there was at least an attempted fraud going on. And I think that their allegation in that regard has at least some foundation in fact. At that point, as I understand the case law, the burden shifts to Park City parties to come in here and make an argument that prima facie showing should not be accepted. After reading the Park City parties' papers and listening to the argument today, I'm unpersuaded that they have rebutted that presumption.
The judge said he made his ruling because of a letter he received from the Mountain Resort's own attorney, Alan Sullivan.
In that letter, it's basically conceded by Greater Park City Company and plaintiffs in this case that this letter was generated on the computers of the law firm, and that the attorney on whose computers it was created was present in the room when the document was signed. And apparently it's been conceded that the document was signed on May 2nd, even though it bore the date of April 30th. So I think those facts that are apparently conceded are sufficient to constitute a prima facie case under crime fraud exception.
But the judge said the emails disclosed would only apply to that weekend, and he would look at them first.
The attorney-client privilege is one of the pillars of American law. It's not something that we erode lightly. And I don't think it would be appropriate just to order the plaintiffs to turn over these 22 emails without my having looked at them first. Because as I understand the law, crime fraud exception is a narrow exception, and it ought to be under the law, given the importance of the attorney-client privilege to the way our whole system works. The crime fraud exception only applies to communications that are in furtherance of a crime or a fraud.
Third District Judge Ryan Harris, who said he would complete his review before depositions are due to start next week.